Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Looking for Rad Gontos. Ladies and gentlemen, where is he? Is he over here? No, I don't see him under there. Oh, here he is. Hey, Rad Gontos.
What is the universal Morse code symbol for SOS?
Dot, dot, dot or something, yeah.
You couldn't script these shows, honestly.
I wouldn't try to.
No. And people laugh. They're like, yeah, you guys are just ham it up. I mean, life is so funny. Life, you know, the old adage of, you know, life happens when you make plans.
Yeah.
But you still proceed, right?
Right.
It's ironic that today my guest on the show is a friend of mine and somebody who a lot of people that we have a lot of people that we know in common, is Mr. Ken Clodoris, who basically wrote a book called, are you ready?
Ready.
It's called Get There.
You obviously didn't read, you didn't get that memo. You didn't read the copy of the book.
Oh, no. It's really funny because I even like went back and looked a minute ago. Ken, glad you're in the studio. I will join you shortly. Thanks for taking time being on the show today with us.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So just to give people, paint a picture for people. If you're familiar with Southern California, there's always potentials for delays on the freeway. And the added irony of this, Paul, is that this isn't the freeway. This is the toll road.
Yeah, exactly. Your beloved toll road that you ride and love so much.
My nemesis of the toll road. So the toll road actually has an accident on it.
Oh, no.
I am about a mile or so from the studio, but for our listeners, we're going to be taking a break once I get to the building, and then we will resume after I am in the studio. So if you're watching us on YouTube, I apologize for having an empty seat, but
I didn't even do YouTube. We figured we wouldn't even do that. It would look too weird. So we're just doing audio.
You're not doing video? Okay, so we'll do video when we come back.
Yeah.
But I wanted to just really excited to have Ken on, and I think it's actually apropos that this is happening because I obviously didn't plan well enough. Right. So Ken, thanks for being on the show. If you wouldn't mind, take a minute and just give people your background. Now, don't give the whole story about the Get There and, you know, the whole kind of revelation, finding your why. Just tell people a little bit about your background.
Tell us how you got here, not how you got there. Yeah, right.
Right. I didn't take the toll road.
He didn't take the toll road. That was his first. And Rod's always saying, don't take the toll road anymore. I hate the toll road. They're evil people. I don't ever want anybody to take the toll. Let's boycott the toll road. Here he is stuck on the toll road. The toll road is paying him back.
Right? I guess maybe they were listening and they just didn't want to meet.
Yeah. There's no accident. It's not an accident these things happen. Okay.
Exactly.
So
who are you?
The mic is yours, my friend.
Who are you and what do we need to know about you?
Yeah. So as Rod mentioned, we are known each other from different social events and professional bases as well. And kind of my background is, you know, after I went to grad school at Pepperdine, I realized that an easy way for me to have an impact on people's lives is to really help them understand their finances and take control of their money in a way that leads them to, you know, their ideal futures and what they're trying to achieve. And so when I first, you know, graduated, it was my goal literally just to get into the wealth management space and really have that impact. And so after I graduated from Pepperdine, I went to Morgan Stanley, worked through their training program, and then joined an independent financial firm and was there for a few years, did some compliance, and ended up actually becoming a principal and a 24 for that group.
And what do you do? Are you a financial advisor? Are you a registered investment advisor? Do you manage money?
Hold on a second. So prior to Pepperdine, though, you also went to a local school, right, for your undergrad?
Correct. I did my undergraduate degree at Long Beach State.
At Cal State Long Beach, okay. So I guess go Sharks now, right? They're no longer 49ers.
They're not the 49ers anymore? I didn't know that.
No, as of about a week ago or so, it was politically incorrect, I guess, to be 49ers anymore, so they are now Sharks. Just, they just beat a bit of news there.
Wow.
Go Beach. We'll just say Go Beach.
Go Beach.
Go Beach works, yes.
Go Beach works, yes.
So to answer my question, do you manage money? I mean, are you a broker and sell people products, and are you a financial advisor and work on commissions? Are you a registered investment advisor and get paid a commission of whatever the assets under management are? What do you do?
How many questions are you going to ask him for?
Well, I'm trying to show my knowledge here.
Yeah, you obviously, interview some financial advisors.
Yes.
So I do all of the above.
Once in a while.
Okay.
So I'm the kind of guy
Before I get into that, though, Ken, I want to just paint a picture for people. So I'm assuming you're a local guy. I mean, these are both local schools. So are you originally from Southern California?
Yeah, I grew up in Anaheim Hills. So always been in Orange County until I ventured to Malibu and then came back to Newport Beach.
Horrible campus. So was your undergraduate also in that same line, like as their finance or business or accounting?
Yeah, my undergraduate degree is in finance.
No, it isn't. Okay, cool. At Pepperdine, there's only one undergraduate degree, and that's partying. And hanging out at the beach.
That's the degree
at Pepperdine. Come on. That's what they major in. It's the most beautiful campus in the world.
But the reason why I'm asking, Ken, is because I went down the path of economics and then did the master's in marketing and ended up doing interior design. I find that it's interesting. There's not a lot of people necessarily that follow that path all the way through from undergraduate to the master's level. Some people actually go through a liberal arts. That's why I was asking. So it sounds like you were very clear from the beginning that this was a direction you wanted to pursue. And then the Morgan Stanley thing makes perfect sense as an extension of having graduated from graduate school.
Yeah, I was very intentional with what I was trying to achieve.
Okay. And that's where I was trying to get to this, because it ties in directly, in my opinion, to what you then ended up doing. So how long were you at Morgan Stanley?
I was at Morgan Stanley for about a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened?
There was some changes at the office, and it was right at the time as they were blending, Morgan Stanley and Smith Barney, and there was just a lot of things going on. And I'd always known that I wanted to do the independent track. So when that was occurring, I was like, you know what, I'm going to reach out and just start my independent career now, and just made that leap of faith that I would be successful in what I wanted to do.
But trust me when I ask this question, because it's intentional as well. How old were you at the time?
So I'm bad with dates, but let's see. I don't know, 29.
You navigate my way.
Yeah, 29, 30, I think.
How old were you?
I was thinking 29, 30, but as I do the math,
it's around 30, late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, I was.
Okay, all right, good enough. Again, I think what I'm trying to do is paint a picture that you're.
He's sweating. It's like you got him under interrogation here. Now, exactly how old were you?
The one thing about Ken that immediately was apparent for me when I first met him, and has consistently been the case, is that the man is soft-spoken, but he's intentional. And in this world that we live in these days, a lot of people are distracted by shiny objects, and life throws them things, and it's sometimes really refreshing to come across somebody that has had a clear idea of the direction they want to go, and then they've just basically fine-tuned. And in this case, the age element for me is, again, an important factor, because to have gone through graduate school and then, go and work for 1 year at a large firm, bragging kind of firm, and then have the wherewithal to say, I want to go out on my own, independent track, and then to put steps towards it, is part of the story here that we're trying to share. So what did you do when you decided to do that, Ken?
When I decided to go out on my own, what most people do is what I did, right? I reached out to my friends and contacts and said, okay, who out there offers kind of the solutions and the team environment that I was looking to grow into. And then kind of how the world works, right? One of my really good friends' brother literally introduced me to the person that is now my business partner. So, once we had that connection and started working together, you know, we were off and running.
Do you believe in that idea? I don't know if Rod does. I struggle to have that much faith that you just put it out there to the universe and the universe responds.
Oh, we could have a whole another show on that.
Do you?
I mean, I was going to say, you're just soft. You're throwing them a soft.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And so I know, you know, and I want to kind of bring the conversation back a little bit to how did you find yourself writing the book Get There? Because you were on this track, you're doing things that were intentional. You're sort of early in, you know, your awareness of certain things that you wanted in your life. What made you then write this book?
You know, I mean, at that time, I was going through a lot of personal growth. And okay. I remember having a conversation with my girlfriend at the time and basically telling her, this is what I'm going to achieve, and listed about five things. And one of them was write a book. And so, you know, people always say, like, when's a good time to do this?
Was the other one get a new girlfriend? No.
Well, we had a gentleman by the name of Joe Burke, which I don't know, Ken, if you know Joe. Do you know Joe Burke?
I think so.
Yeah, I think he runs in the same circles. Yeah. Joe's the head of marketing for First Steam. And Joe had a similar thing. I hear this from certain generation of people that write books is, you know, I want to write a book. And then they basically just set out to write a book. So was that the case in your case?
Pretty much. I mean, yeah, once I set the intention, you know, I became a habit of writing and just continually was writing a book. And, you know, I kept it to myself for basically until the book was done, just because so many people, you know, don't believe you can do it or have their opinions and try to kind of get you off kilter. And, you know, I was just like, I'm just going to write this book. And, you know, I put the team around me that would support me and help me achieve that goal. And then, you know, whatever, basically a year and a half later, the book was done. And, you know, we were out promoting it and helping people. And it's been a blessing ever since.
So Ken, or considering basically writing a book, maybe share a little bit the discipline that is required to do that. Like when you say, you know, you made the clear intention that you're going to write a book, you then just set out to write a book. Was there a regimen, a routine that you followed? Was there sort of a regular writing allotment of time? Because you're obviously also leading a professional life, you have a personal life. What does it take to write a book? Maybe share a little bit of your personal experience with that.
That's one of the funny things. When I set out to write the book, I never thought that I'd have so many people ask me that question. And it's been interesting to hear how many people basically have that desire to write their book or share their story and just have never gotten around to it. And so with that, I think really the most important thing from the beginning is to set the intention that you're going to write the book, not just say it. You know, so many people are like, oh yeah, I want to write this book, and then just don't ever do anything. But when you actually put the energy behind it to, you know, start taking some action, once you get your momentum started, you know, the book kind of comes to life. And then for me, I basically create systems for everything that I do. So in my morning routine, when I was writing the book, I would write every morning. So there was days where I was in flow and, you know, the book was really coming to life. And then there was days where I was struggling to write for 30 minutes and just the creativity wasn't there. But I made that habit of writing every day. And with that, you know, you just fast forward, you know, 6 months and you have a collection of thoughts and, you know, you start your editing process and really just putting it together. But it was a daily ritual that I did every single day for 6 months of the writing process and then working with an editor for, you know, 6 months after that.
And what I'm hearing is that discipline, that self-discipline is super critical in achieving this goal or other goals. And is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, having those systems.
And then let's talk a minute about this sort of thing that it's interesting you brought this up, because you consciously were aware that people were going to try to talk you out of things, or, you know, if well-intentioned or otherwise, were going to share their opinion and almost like argue for limitations, if you want to use that kind of term, or like try to basically, not necessarily consciously or maliciously dissuade you, but for whatever reason, not be supportive necessarily in what you have made a goal of your own that you want to pursue. How important is it when you are in that sort of tender spot, if you will, starting this, to be aware that this is something maybe you need to sort of protect yourself or distance yourself a little bit from so that you don't get derailed?
Oh, yeah, no, that's key. I mean, like I said, I've met so many people that, you know, share their story about the book they want to write, and a lot of them have started. But if I would have been telling those same people, like, oh, I want to write my book too, they would be telling me all the things that would be difficult about it. One of the things I thought was interesting too is I have a really good friend who is a book editor, and she was the first person to actually read my book or a manuscript. And when I was, you know, kind of going through her with it and showing her what I had done, she was like, did you take a class? Like, how did you kind of come up with the idea to do this? And I was like, no, I just started writing. And she thought that was so impressive and at the same time, like, refreshing, because, you know, I didn't have all that outside noise telling me how to write a book or the things I should be doing or not doing, right? I just got my thoughts out on paper and then I could fine tune it later, but the momentum was already built for me to finish the book.
Well, and you raise another very interesting point, Ken, which I take very personally, given what I do, it being sort of, if you will, a creative outlet, right? Is it is so interesting when people want, I mean, there's something to be said for having the tools, if you will, the basics of doing any task. But sometimes people get caught up into making sure that they have all the pieces before they sit down. Like, I want to, and then in the case of the writing, like, I want to make sure that it's the proper lighting and it's the proper location and it's the right time of day, whatever. But there's no substitute to actually getting to the actual task at hand. The same with design. It's like, I see people that basically take all this energy into getting everything just right instead of just basically starting to scribble. And so, again, to your point, I think there's this sort of this exploration, if you will, and you just get down to it and you kind of build it as you fly, if you will, sometimes. And sometimes that's the best work because it's the most authentic that comes out. So it's really interesting to hear it coming from your perspective in writing, because it echoes exactly what I experience and actually look forward to when I'm doing stuff in a creative outlet when it comes to design.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, Paul.
What's the book about?
Well, before
the big reveal. Okay, all right.
I think he wants to be here for that.
I'm actually about to part. So, I would like, Ken, though, is if you would take a minute and just share the website and how where people can find out about the book, about you, and then Paul, if you will go to a break, and I will join you guys in the studio in 2 minutes.
Okay, let's do it. So let's find out more of this mysterious journey that we're on here. You took this journey and you said, I'm going to write a book. Nobody believed you. You did it in secret. You did it with intent, with purpose. You pushed through all the writer's blocks and kept doing it. And when he gets up here, we're going to find out what the book is about. I've been taking it.
Well, and let's give people the website because I want them to follow and then where they can get this book. It's actually a very... It's a very easy read, Ken, by the way, and thank you for the copy. And I found it to have really some genuine self-reflection. It made me go down that path. And I think the way that you crafted it in terms of both the journey, the, if you will, the vessel that you're talking about during the course of the book and how you tied it to your own personal experiences and personal self-growth. Really, I agree with your editor. It makes it really a very authentic, genuine share. And with that, I'll let you give them the website, and I will join you guys in the studio in a minute.
Got it. All right. Website.
Yeah. Well, I know he can't hear me, but the authenticity is really what I was going for with the book. And people that know me know that's kind of like what I'm about.
I get that sense, not even knowing what the book's about. I take it it's not just about how to manage your money. It's not something, a self-serving marketing book here.
No. You can learn more about the book on kenkladoris.com.
Spell it.
KenKladoris.
Okay.
.com. And it's also available on Amazon. So you just go on Amazon and search Get There.
And how long did it take you to write the book? And before we find out what it's about, what you talked about the process, talk about the time, year, month, day?
I wrote it in about 6 months and then spent about 6 months editing.
Okay. And how long is the book?
110 pages.
Okay. So it's not War and Peace, not 1,000 pages or something here.
No,
it's something you can pick up and read in a weekend or whatever, or at the beach or whatever.
Yeah, most of the content in the book is really about self-reflection and really trying to understand who you are and what you're trying to achieve.
Is this one of those books like Who Moved My Cheese that's going to move people to think in a different way and to recognize different paradigms or patterns? Or is this just you? Are you advocating something, or are you just getting people to reflect?
Really what I'm trying to get people to understand.
Is this you teaching a life lesson or just pointing out something that people haven't stopped to think about?
Kind of both.
Okay.
So sharing stories of people that have achieved kind of their passion and desire, and trying to get the reader to slow down enough to take the time to figure out where they want to go.
That's the problem, isn't it, these days? Just to slow down and take the time. We're all racing. Somebody said the famous quote, you know, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there, right?
Exactly.
You know, you just get in the car and start driving, and somehow we'll figure it out as we go along. Well, that doesn't, we did that this morning with this show. We ran up against an obstacle. We go to plan B. We figure it out. We're used to doing these things on the fly, but that doesn't always lead to the best result, right?
Correct.
Sometimes you get a plan, you got to think about it, and to plan and think about it, you got to slow down. I find that's the number one problem of people today, particularly younger people today. Speaking as a father of a millennial here, you know, getting them to focus and not chase all the shiny objects. My daughter will watch television while she's texting on her phone and doing something else. Doing her homework. You can't do all three well at the same time, but we've been learned to think that's the way the world works. Multitask, move at lightning speed, figure it out as you go.
Exactly. Right. And when you actually take the time to slow down, you get more done because you're more intentional with what you're doing. And so when you're trying to achieve anything, when you actually know what the destination is,
right,
you don't have all that time kind of spinning around in circles or wasting all that energy, not leading you towards your goal.
As Rad is making his way up through the building here, I'm reminded every time somebody gets in our elevator here, we're in a high-rise building, they can't just sit and watch anymore. They can't just sit and reflect. They are immediately on their smartphone trying to be productive in that 2.5-minute ride up and down the elevator.
Yeah. Are we off?
We're on.
We're still on. Yeah, we're just going. Chatting.
Awesome.
As he gave the site, I was quizzing him about...
riffing over there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm just riffing.
Okay.
We were talking about, taking the time to slow down and figure out what you're trying to do.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to just reacting to all the shiny objects that are out there.
Were you the one yesterday, or where did I see something? Somebody said that take like 23 minutes between something or the other, like take some time between distractions or something like that. Was that you? I saw a post somewhere.
I've seen posts similar to that. It wasn't me that posted it.
Yeah.
But I did a Darren Hardy course once, and he was discussing that basically it takes maybe 23 minutes to refocus once you've been distracted.
That's what it is.
But we're distracted constantly, so we never get focused.
We never have 23 minutes to get refocused.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so thanks, everybody, for allowing me to do the first part of the show in the car. It's kind of ironic given the fact that we're talking about getting there. But
you got here.
I got here.
It took a little longer, but it's all good.
You got here. Tenacity.
Well, isn't that the point of the book? If you're not focused and intentional, it will take you longer to get there, perhaps.
Well, and remember we were talking about like making sure that people that are basically maybe well-intentioned, but from their own programming or their own background or whatever, are trying to talk you out of something. Yeah. So that's, again, those are sort of obstacles that you are going to encounter, and then being ready for them and addressing them. Again, not getting sucked into the addressing of them and being derailed from the course that you're charting. Yep. So Ken's book is Get There. Chart your course to financial abundance and live the life you desire.
Do you want to start a video here? I'm just going to break for 1 second.
Let's take a break and let's start a video. For those that are going to listen to this later, you'll see half of the show in video, but I'll do a little recap before when we get back. And then the full audio will be the whole thing. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Imagine buying a newspaper and discovering that the news you're reading is 6 months old. There isn't much that stays the same for 6 months. And the same thing goes for background checks. In a time when so much outdated information is being passed around, it's good to know that People G2 offers something different. At People G2, we provide today's intelligence, not yesterday's news. Our value-added approach offers you a fully FCRA-compliant solution that includes up-to-the-minute information. By combining industry-leading technology with old-school human investigation, People G2 is able to give you information that is accurate right now, delivered quickly to our online system or integrated with your HR system. So ask yourself, are you comfortable working with old news, or are you ready for a different kind of background check company? Visit PeopleG2.com or call 800-630-2880. That's 800-630-2880 or PeopleG2.com.
All right, we're back.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the second half of The Rad Life. I am here with my guest, Ken Clodoris, that is a financial planner, a friend of mine, and among other things, he's also an author. And we're talking about the process of planning your life, but also how he planned and basically wrote this book. And if you are just joining us now, before the break, we were talking about, you know, being careful that when being intentional, B, you know, kind of taking, just going ahead and doing something and not just talking about that you're going to do it. And there's a lot of people, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but, you know, there's a lot of people that are basically, you're going to talk to you all day long, and we all have them in our life for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. They've been telling you they're going to be doing something at one point, but just the alignment of the planets, the you know, navigational stars are not in the right sequence, whatever it is. For some reason or the other, there's an argumentation for limitations, not doing it. We'll do it later. Perfect example for all those people that basically work, and then basically when I retire, I'll get to do all that stuff.
Yep, exactly.
Right? I mean, that's as common as anything, right? That used to be the old model. Instead of actually living your life, I have beautiful china and we bought it and we're going to use it for special occasions. And then you end up basically never using it. And, you know, right. So the point is, be intentional, take action, and basically have a clarity. And in the case of Ken, he was sharing that, you know, from day one, when he went to school, he went down a financial path. Then he went and did a degree, a master's degree down the same line. And then he went and worked and very quickly decided he was going to go and be an independent wealth manager. And then due to personal self-growth, he found himself in a situation where he was reevaluating what he wanted to do. And I wouldn't say charting a new course necessarily, but adjusting your course to what you wanted to do, right?
Yeah, more like fine-tuning.
Fine-tuning.
Yeah,
fine-tuning is a good one because again, I think a lot of people also assume that once you have set a course, that's it, you're committed.
Yeah.
And that there's no room in life to fine-tune, which is actually not the truth. The truth is you're always constantly fine-tuning.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, I feel like so many people, when you ask them about like their vision for life, get so stuck in the particulars,
right,
of like this is how it has to be, and it becomes this very overwhelming thought process. Whereas if you just took the time to start like a general idea of what that looks like,
right,
as you get closer, you'll fine tune it and make it, you know, more clear. You don't have to have it all figured out to start.
Well, and you know, I think let's take a minute here, because I know from my own personal self-growth experiences is that when you have a situation like that, your sense of needing to come up with what it is that your ultimate goal is sometimes is paralyzing.
Yeah.
Like you feeling like I am going to verbalize something right now that I now have to be committed to as the only way that this is going to manifest itself.
Yep.
When the truth is, no, you're just charting a course in a certain direction. And then there's a journey along the way that has all kinds of rewards and lessons along the way. And you're constantly adjusting and calibrating. And, you know, like we might as well get to it. I mean, you use the idea of sailing. And I'm going to let you share in a minute why that is important to you. But you use the idea of sailing as the basic sort of underlying current, if you will, excuse the pun, in your book.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And in sailing, you're constantly calibrating and adjusting. You're constantly reading the wind. You're constantly you know, dealing with conditions as they change, right?
Exactly.
Right. So it's, I mean, that's why I said the book is actually phenomenal, because from your own personal journey and experience, it manifests itself in a physical environment that literally carries the message very well.
Right. It all just ties together very nicely.
Ties really nicely. So tell me, so since I brought it up, what was it that made you go down the path of sailing as a metaphor and a genuine basis for the book?
Yeah. So I've always had a passion for the water.
Yeah.
And I spent all my time basically near or on the water.
Yeah.
And I've owned a powerboat since I was 17.
Okay.
So, you know, but I live in Newport Beach.
Yeah, but doesn't every 17-year-old own a powerboat?
That's like normal things that we do in Orange County. But, you know, I was literally one day walking by the harbor, and I was like, that is a really nice boat. Like, I think I should learn how to sail. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I didn't know the process or anything about it, but kind of to the point of the book, right? Once you kind of set the intention of, like, I want to learn how to do that,
mm-hmm.
you just kind of figure out how to start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I went and signed up for the first class I could find, started doing that, and then moved through that process of taking 3 or 4 classes there, and then, you know, once I'd gone through that curriculum, found another school that was fine-tuning closer to what I was trying to sail,
right.
and went down that path. And then at the same time I was learning to sail is kind of the time I was setting the intention of writing the book. So as I was writing, they were kind of mirroring each other.
They were coming together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
interesting.
It was a nice, easy, you know, read and storytelling, because I was literally learning.
Right.
And then writing something that I was trying to teach at the same time.
Right. So you're getting, if you will, material and input for what it was that you were basically then putting on down on paper.
Exactly.
Right. Very interesting. And what was your goal? Because you wanted to sail, so you took classes to sail, but there was a goal. There was a physical goal, like visual,
yeah.
in front of you, right?
Yeah.
That what people call a vision board almost, right? Like there was something, right?
Yeah.
What was that?
So, as I mentioned, I kind of was walking through the harbor one day, mm-hmm. and knowing anything about sailing, when I started, it was just more of like a personal growth thing of I want to learn how to sail.
Right.
And then I remember specifically I was walking through this harbor where all the boats are part of the sailing club that I now belong to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that boat, I want to sail.
Mm-hmm.
And so that became my vision, if you will. And so when I started at that new facility, I was like, I'm going to sail that boat. How do I do that?
Mm-hmm. How do I get to that?
Yeah.
So there was a physical visual in front of you.
Correct.
And actually a tangible. You could go up there and touch it.
Yep.
Right? That symbolized in real life what your goal was.
Correct.
And then you took steps to basically get there.
Yep.
I might as well ask, where was it?
It's all in Newport Harbor.
Oh, it's Newport Harbor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I sail that boat now. I mean, that goal went from that to a much bigger one. Now I just get to share basically my passion for the water and sailing mm-hmm. with friends and family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody really enjoys going out on the water. And it's something now that is much bigger than the tangible boat.
Right.
It's become part of like who I am.
Right.
And as people get to know me, right, it really flows in with the authenticity and the stillness
yeah.
that I have in life. Being on a sailboat, right? You have to slow down.
Well, yes, and you cannot be distracted. I mean, a similar one for me when I was first starting in design, and I happened to be living in West LA, it was rock climbing.
Okay.
There's certain things like this show is actually one of them in a way, because you can be on a cell phone.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on a cell phone calling in, but you can be on a cell phone. You have to be engaged with the person in front of you. And if you think that's a small task, everybody who's listening, but take a minute and just reflect on your life today. Just we're at 1 o'clock. How much of your day so far today has been one where you basically did not get distracted by a million emails, you know, social media postings on your phone, all this other stuff, and actually had to physically engage in the now with what was going on?
Exactly.
It's harder and harder to do.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember taking a course with Stephen Kotler, who's written a couple books on flow states,
yeah.
and he talks about rock climbing or these other sports that really you can't think about the future or the past. You have to be in the moment, because that's how you have to.
Yeah, if you're distracted and you happen to be on the belaying side of the end of the rope, and somebody falls, you're the only point of safety for them.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you're basically checking your, you know, you're posting on Instagram at the moment that basically somebody falls in the rope, let me tell you, you feel really, really bad about it. So I fortunately didn't do it when there was social media on my phone that was, it was early on. But no, it's really, I think it's important to mention because we just walk around like this is the normal.
Yeah.
Like this is it. There's no other alternative. When in fact there is alternatives, you just got to discipline yourself to basically do that. I read an article yesterday regarding that, and I'll share it on the Rad Life Facebook page later. But the article basically talked about something that I had actually done a couple of weeks ago, because there was a moment about a month ago where I consciously said to myself, "I got to do this." What we're talking about, you got to take an action towards clearing the distractions out of your life, right? Because otherwise, it's one more distraction, and tomorrow there's another one, and then there's one from today is still around, and then, you know, it just piles up, right? I think it was like spring cleaning. It was like, okay, spring cleaning time, right? So I literally took off all the apps for social media off my phone.
Wow.
Right? The only one, and this is a shout out to Instagram, to do something about this, right, is give people the opportunity to post on Instagram from their laptops or from their PCs, okay? The only reason Instagram's on my phone is because there's no way for me to post on social media, and I happen to do social media postings for a couple of agencies and organizations. But I also then said, I'm not going to do any checking on social media other than early in the morning, after I have had my routine and my time to myself,
okay,
or after a certain point in the afternoon. And that was it. And it was like, and I will tell you, it is a simple thing. If you can get there, oh my God, the difference. You don't realize how inundated we are with distractions these days.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Right? And we're all walking around like, well, we have no other choice.
Yeah.
Right? And you would think that with as much contact that we have, that we would have a depth of connection. And it's the exact opposite.
Right.
It's all superficial. It's not 8x10 glossy. It's canned, curated, right? There's no genuine connection. You really actually have to go out of your way to have a genuine connection with people.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we all have to communicate. We all have to be open to emails. And, you know, if you're in business, it's unavoidable. You work for yourself. There's a certain amount of that you have to do. But you also get to choose how you go about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where your book comes really in. I think, Ken, anybody who needs to get this, it's called Get There. It's by Ken Clodoris, and it's available online, right?
Yeah, it's on Amazon and available through my website.
Right. And I urge you to really look at it. It's what is it, like 120 pages?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, and then there's a couple of like quotes from the book. You know, he even organized it, right? You're interested in just quotes, there's a section on just quotes, right? There's a section on him that's like actually very nice. It's only 2.5 pages, like 2 pages total, really. Really concise guy.
You know, right. I'm just very to the point.
Very to the point guy.
I call it efficiency.
Efficiency. Let's talk about this book, okay? Just the structure of what you put in here, right? And let's talk about what are some of the things that you point out in here that I think are critical that people fall into, like traps that people fall into, things that they don't do.
Well, kind of to your point about distractions, you know, one of the things that I've recently done is, I think we talked about it, you know, I did a week in silence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so talk about
I called you like a monk or something.
Yeah. So, you know, really spending that time to detach from all the distractions and have that time with yourself really gets you some clarity on what you're trying to achieve and who you are as a person. I'm not saying that everybody needs to go spend a week out in silence.
Well, no, and let's just preface this too, right? Because people are going to go do that and they basically hurt themselves sort of internally something, right? Ken has been kind of building all of this stuff. It's a part of his regimen to basically have time to himself.
Correct.
So to take a week of silence when you are not used to anything but noise around you, you know, you could be screaming inside your head. So just be cautious.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell anybody to go do that. But for me, it was a perfect thing to do. And you know, what I do tell people is to spend at least a couple minutes really in silence, if you will, and just with yourself and in your thoughts, because that helps you really understand who you are and what you're trying to achieve without the distractions. And that's really what the book is about is, okay, what is my vision of the future and what does that look like? You know, and that isn't something that I can't tell you what your vision is.
Right.
No different than you could tell me what mine is.
Right. The hardest sometimes is us telling ourselves what it is.
Correct. And, you know, that was something I didn't think about until feedback from the book. A lot of people have told me that they're having a problem with that. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes down to really just not taking the time to sit with themselves and go through that process.
Yeah, because there's no shortcut to that. You have to do that to do there.
Exactly.
Right? And it's like a muscle. Do you think it's like that kind of behavior is also kind of like a muscle? Like you actually need to start doing it in order to get better at doing it?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like anything, right? You got to practice.
So you have some advice for people about how to find their why, their why and what is that vision for them, right?
Correct.
Let's share that with people.
Well, I mean, again, it really just comes down to creating a vision statement for yourself. And, you know, one of the quotes is about a North Star. Mm-hmm. And it really makes sense if you think about it. Every decision you make going through the day is a reflection of what you are doing today and who you want to be in the future. Mm-hmm. So if you have that vision statement and you're like, okay, does this relate to and define me who I want to be? Or is it turning me in a direction I don't want to go? It helps you decide on where you're going to make changes.
And like we said before, you may have to go down that course, that chart that course, and then by going down it, realize you need to correct.
Exactly. Right. But it's all about getting in motion.
Right.
You know, we can sit here and talk about doing something forever,
right,
but you have to get yourself moving and the momentum will build and you'll continually go forward and, you know, refine and course correct on what you want to achieve. But you need to have a general idea of where you want to go,
right,
and where you are today. You know, that the how and the process is going to be different for each person. But with those two things, we can get you where you're trying to go.
So from your own personal experience and from your own, you know, what you've encountered with people that have read the book and shared with you, what are some of the common things that you'd like to share with the listeners?
What I always find interesting, and I wrote it kind of for this purpose to really have an impact on people, and it's done that. I've had people tell me that they've changed careers because of the book, allowed themselves to step out of their comfort zone and really question, you know, what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody that was helping me work on the book that actually spent a month in Europe doing a writing class afterwards because the opportunity came and he was like working with me on the book. And he's like, you know what? That's really what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to spend the money and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he went out and did that. You know, the book, people hear a finance book and they get all like crazy, like, oh my God, it's going to be numbers and this. And that's really not the book.
It's not the book.
Right. I call it an inspirational finance book. It's really trying to inspire you to figure out what you want,
right,
and spend the small amount of time to start putting the things in place,
right,
to get to where you want to go.
You know what? You know what I found about it, Ken. Honestly, there are a couple of things that are really interesting. The timing of this when you gave it to me, and I'm a firm believer in happy accidents. Okay, I really am. Okay, and I feel blessed that at some point in my life I actually allowed myself to receive. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And just not be so closed off that I had to control everything.
Yep.
Right. Some people would say that I basically am a little too lax in that. But when you gave me this book, I was going through a little bit of that sort of reevaluation. And it was interesting because there is an old saying that says, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In a way, this was that at that moment. The other thing that I find interesting about this is that a lot of people don't really understand that there is no, the idea of you can't go back,
mm-hmm,
is not there. You're always able to do that. And when you surrender, doesn't mean that you're giving up power. In fact, it's you're probably most powerful is when you're allowing for things that you cannot control to be while you then focus on those things. No distractions, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And Paul is giving me the signal that we're almost out of time. But the thing about this is that your book has very little, to be honest, that has to do with finances. Like it's like without this getting to the point where this book is telling you to get, none of the other stuff makes any difference.
Right.
Right. And if you get to this, what this is for me was your self-awareness getting to a certain point and being standing in that light, if you will, and there's no religious connotations, but standing in that light, you then shared that to somebody, and in this case, to a lot of people, because it's a book, right? For those who know what I'm talking about, once you have that light, if you will, turned on, there will be times where you wish it wasn't. But once you have that light turned on, it's almost impossible to turn it off, and it becomes your North Star,
yep,
your own personal North Star, right? In everything that you do, you may get distracted from it. You may find yourself in a harbor spending too much time, you know, off on shore leave or whatever. But there will always be a time when you will come back to it. And there will be times where you go, God damn it, ignorance would be bliss right now. Why, if I didn't know what I know and if I didn't have that awareness. Do you feel that way?
100%. I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very personal share. It is a very concise and, you know, knowing you and what you shared today earlier, yes, it was a very intentional size and share,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I didn't want it to be overwhelming. If you give somebody a 300-page book, you're not going to read it.
Well, as a former MBA student, I appreciate the fact that this had the word finance on it and it didn't come in like 3 inches of thickness, right?
Right.
It really is a great book. I recommend it to everybody. Go get this thing. It's called Get There. Chart your course to financial abundance and live the life you desire. It's actually live the life you desire. And in financial abundance, we live in a world where you need it. That's going to be the grease that, you know, the oil that greases the wheels, if you will, right? And it's by my guest and friend, Ken. And Ken, let's give them the website again. It's on Amazon, so they can find it on Amazon.
It is on Amazon, and it's on Prime, so you'll get it in 2 days.
Oh, and it's on Prime, so you can get it really fast. So, you know, you can be like all in a higher level of self-awareness by, you know, I don't know, Monday.
Yeah.
Right. Because you can read this.
Because I can't wait.
You can't wait? Yeah, because you can't wait. You're distracted by everything
else. I don't have
the
time. I got too many distractions. I need to get there now.
And if you don't order it on Prime, if you order it the old-fashioned way of 3 days to get to you, please let us know, because I really want to champion your efforts to be still. The other thing I want to share also is Ken also has a website. That's his name, right? You have a kenkladoris.com.
Correct.
And I'm going to spell that. It's KenKladouris. It's the only man that other than with my name that has an OU after his in his name, right?
Right. Confuses everybody.
It confuses everybody, yeah. It's a silent. Okay. And then you also are a partner and president of your wealth management company, and that is what's the website for that?
It's platinumwealthgroup.com.
Platinumwealthgroup.com. Very concise, very intentional. The man is very intentional.
Right. Make it as easy as possible for everybody.
I really appreciate you being here and sharing your story.
Thank you.
Everybody, please go get this book. It's a really good read. I love books like this that have a lot of content. Don't judge a book by its cover or its thickness. There's a lot of stuff in here. I appreciate my friend for you being
here. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you'll be back.
I hope so.
Well, I know.
And hopefully you'll be here the whole time.
Well, I'll be here the whole time. I'll get there sooner.
There you go.
Thanks, everybody.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.